That look good?
Electronic equipment. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Erica. That was good. Well, big feast of famine, right? What did we have, like 16 kids up here last week? So pretzels after church. Pretzels after church. You know, Father's Day is one of these holidays that, for me, brings back good memories. But it doesn't for everybody. I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I hope in my plan is, that is if I go by a plan, right? But my plan is to talk about us with our relationships with our dad, but also about our relationships with our Heavenly Father. And the reality is, when we've struggled with relationships with an earthly dad or an absence of an earthly dad or a lot of negative experiences with the earthly dad, it does get in the way with us having a good relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we're certainly not going to fix some of the problems that come with that in the half hour or whatever I take to do that. But I think it's good for us to look at that. But here's some things, you know. When my kids were little, you're the greatest dad, although my frame of reference is limited. The only one they knew, so. But my dad still seemed the greatest in the world, even when as I aged and my frame of reference could have changed. I just was so blessed to have a really awesome dad. But I like this one. There's lots of Skywalker ones. So the Skywalkers, and you thought your family was dysfunctional. Well, this is from the older one, when Luke finds out that Darth Vader is his dad. And I remember seeing this in the theater when it came out and going, no, Darth Vader can't be his dad. He can't be. And so they really had me on that one. And I won't ask how many have gone to see the new Han Solo movie, but I've heard it's not doing well. Anybody see it and like it? I need to talk to you. You kind of liked it? Okay, then you give me a positive spin. I only heard a negative spin. Guys like it better? Well, I like the old ones with the old cast, which literally, you know, that's not working anymore. So anyway, they got to do something. They're going to keep it going. I love this quote. I found this years ago. I bring it up often on Father's Day, but it's such a classic from Mark Twain. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. And the problem is that's so true. For me, in my late teens, I had a chance to actually go to my dad's workplace and observe him at work. I personally think, I wish our culture, our businesses were structured more that way so kids could work in their dads. Some of the stuff we did now, I'm sure there'd be legal problems that we used to hang out at a car dealership and do stuff. Now they'd never allow that. Pardon me, but it was a safer world back then, too. So time with your father is what I've called this today. And a couple things were kind of getting my attention during the week. And so we'll see where we go with this. Do you have good memories about your dad? And some of you I know well enough that you do, because I have known some of your dads. And that's pretty cool. A lot of you, I don't know your dad's, your family background. But when I'm getting acquainted with new people, in time, once they, you might say, feel comfortable with me, they sometimes tell me what I call the backstory. And they tell me about their childhood, the good parts and maybe the bad parts. So I put it down. What did you learn from your father? And those learning experiences can be either negative or positive. Most of you have probably heard Pastor Rick enough to know that he says repeatedly, his father showed him how he didn't want to raise his kids. It was a negative thing. And I will say, observing Rick and Kath literally raising their kids in the teenage years when they moved up here to help out, I saw good parenting skills. And my kids were enough younger, so I thought, I want to try doing some of the things they're doing. It seems to work pretty good. So what do we learn? We can learn all kinds of things. But when a Christian dad spends time with his kids, some good things come out as a result of that. They know they are loved. Now, my dad didn't pick me up and hug me and say, Ronnie, I love you. You're the best of my three kids. He should have said that, but he didn't. But he did spend time with us, and we just knew it was there. I knew I was very much loved by my dad and by my mom. They know that they are valued. They know that they are valued. The more I read the Bible, the more I see how God values you and me, that we are his most precious creation. The human is easily his most precious. I'm not trying to diminish his love of the rest of his creation, but when you read the end of the story in the Bible, the only thing that goes into the next life is the eternal souls of us. It's a whole new creation, whole new heavens and earth. So all this stuff is temporary. I'm not teaching, I hope, bad stewardship. That was last Sunday. I talked about stewardship. But we want to be good stewards of the planet and of God's things that he's given us. That's what stewardship means. But to know you are extremely valued, that's why Jesus came. And they know they can always talk to him. My dad, I could always talk to. And I remember different times when I'd be troubled. My mom, too. But sometimes it was just me and my dad, and we talked. And we talked over life things. And I get some good teaching. I have some clear memories of even the where and the what. But it was personal, so I'm not sharing it with you. But I have other things I could share, too. But I could always talk to my dad. He was always available. Your Heavenly Father's love for you. I found this when I was doing some research on a website I haven't used a lot. It's a good Christian website, though, and I'll have the link at the end. This gal, a pastor's wife, she's writing a little blog thing, and I just was so impressed how she put this together. God's love is perfect, faithful, unconditional, forgiving, all-encompassing, pure, lasting, sacrificial, strong, enduring, refreshing, redeeming, everlasting, lavish, full, inspiring, hope-filled, gracious, and so much more. I thought, that's a pretty good list. That's pretty exhaustive. She continues, it's never based on us, our abilities, or striving to ever be good enough. Now, that first sentence on this slide to me is very pivotal on what becomes good Bible teaching versus manipulative Bible teaching. Because God does want us to change. God does want to transform us into the image of his son, Jesus. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit that's ongoing in our life experience. But God loves us constantly and fully and completely, regardless if I've had a good day or a horrible day. It's found in him, his character, and huge capacity to give. It knows no boundaries and has no limits. There's no place too deep that his love can't reach. So it's on crosswalk.com. If you just Google search God's love and you hit this, the crosswalk, and the gal's name is Debbie McDaniel. And it's part of an article in Bible verses that she's put together. It's a great article. It's never based on us. Now, as I knew when my parents approved and disapproved of my behavior. How many of you knew that with your parents? I knew when my parents approved or disapproved. They had ways of communicating that, and some were very effective. But I knew that I was loved. I was pretty secure with that. Pardon me. This is the verse, though, that caught my attention this week, and I wasn't really looking for it. It was kind of a God moment. This is a very simple verse, Luke 6:12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and spent the night praying to God. That was the verse. And it hit me like it's never hit me before, because I've read it many times, and I thought, oh, I can't imagine praying all night. Being out in the mountains kind of cool. I like camping and hiking. That's okay. I can't imagine praying all night. And then what hit me this week was, but wait a minute. Jesus was just spending time with his father. That's what he was doing. He was just spending time with his father. And for him to really get focused, one another get focused, he had to get away from the crowds that wanted food and healing and the disciples who didn't get it. By right after this, by the way, he goes down and he picks the 12. And must have been days he thought, wrong pick. But that is not how it worked, you know? He chooses the 12. But so I've just been trying to absorb this. Jesus just liked spending time with his Father. And that's what prayer is. He was just spending time with his Father. So why does prayer sometimes seem like work? Well, it can depend on the circumstances. It depends what you're going through. You're going through a deep valley. It can be. I've been there. You've been there. But I think it reshaped my thinking of what this picture was of Jesus spending the night in prayer. He's spending time with his dad. Why did Jesus pray all night? Time with his Father. Because love always needs time. I don't think there's any substitute for it. It just needs time. If you never see a person who says they love you, there's something wrong with this picture. If they're gone all the time, they need time. Now, I know we have periods of our life when lots going on, lots of distractions, but love needs time. And then consequently, as I read Scripture, love makes time. It has to somehow say, I'm going to cut some time out of all this stuff because this is what's important. Now, I've had periods of my life when I think I've done half decent at this, but I've got a lot more of my life when I've been really crappy at this. And that's both with my Heavenly Father and with my own family. Because my life's busy, your life's busy, and everything around us is really important, isn't it? Right? Everything is important. There's always stuff that's got to be done, and that's just the way it is. But love needs time, and love makes time. So I'm thinking of what my dad did with me, my brother and sister, and it never really hit me till about 30-some years ago. I'm a young man. I moved up here with my three boys, and I never lived in Durham growing up. I grew up in Falmouth. We drove up here to church every Sunday. And we had a lot of friends and family in the Durham-Lisbon area, so I knew a lot of people. But when I moved up here, it was different. Now I'm living here. I'm a young guy trying to figure out what to do. And I remember one of the neighbors came and talked to me that I had known years ago, but I hadn't seen in a long time, spent any time with. And we were sitting and talking in his pickup truck. I can tell you the year because I remember what year his truck was. And I grew up in a car family. Sorry, that's just how the brain works. And he said to me, he said, you know, Ron, growing up, I was so envious of you. And I thought, what? I didn't know this. And he said, you spent a lot of time with your dad, didn't you? I went, yeah. And I may have said, I don't remember the full conversation, but I almost went, didn't you? And my memory is he went, not the same, not the same. And then we talked more. I didn't see this coming. I was surprised he opened up to me at that level. And I remember getting out of his truck after we talked and coming back in the house, and I started at that point rethinking. My dad was still back then alive and well, doing great. My dad had a bout with cancer. He'd lived through his first heart bypass and had retired. And I remember starting to rethink, wow, I'm really fortunate to have the dad I had. And that was a game changer for me, if you will, because I'd had that conversation with a friend. And he told me, I envied you as a kid because of what I saw that you had with your dad and your family. And I had missed that. I needed to see that. So it's the time thing. It makes a difference. And my dad was a very positive person. How many of you never met my dad? I just want to see hands. Okay, it's maybe not half, something like that. So the rest of you will know if I'm exaggerating or not when I talk about my dad. They say after your loved one dies, they just become greater and greater, and maybe that's true, but my dad was pretty great when he had a pulse, too, so we did a lot of fun things together. I spent time with my dad, but I can remember doing some things with him, and I think it was his personality or his temperament. He would teach me things, but I didn't feel like he was teaching me things because we were just interacting and sharing, so we'd be fixing something. Now, I can remember this is a lesson that I thought was very valuable. One summer, we had a backfield in Falmouth. It's growing up. It's bad. And Dad says, I got to get it cut. And the guy we used to have couldn't do it anymore. But our neighbor had a tractor. So Dad went up, and we got along good with that neighbor. And he said, can I borrow the tractor? I need to cut the field. And the guy says, sure. Well, he made about two passes down the field. This is for those of you that like old farming equipment. This is a sickle bar mower. And hadn't been well taken care of, and the thing busts. So I remember bringing it up to the garage or our little house, and we start fixing it. And Dad is frustrated. Dad could fix stuff. He was much better, thank God, much better than I am at that. But I remember him looking at me and his frustration and going, do not borrow things. Do not borrow things. It just doesn't work. Do not borrow things. And I remember, and my dad never really got that intense very often. So I thought, Ronnie, do not borrow things, which has been great. So now I just tell Lois, I've got to buy. And then you fill in the blank. So it was a great life lesson, and I do need a new tractor. So anyway, so there's great life lessons all along the way. Let's look at some scripture. John, this is near the end of the New Testament. We have John's an elderly man. He's lived through a lot, and he writes this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because what? God is love. God is love. Another great verse. Zephaniah, this is another newer song. Someone took this verse and put it to music. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take, you know what it is? Great delight in you. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now, years ago, I had read over that verse and it never clicked. But now it's one of my super verses, and it's found in an odd place. Zephaniah is not the first place you turn to usually for biblical encouragement, but that verse just shines. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will quiet you with his love. He will take great delight in you. Great delight in you. I don't know what you're going through right now, what's going on. If everything's good, praise God, enjoy the moment. But if you're going through some hard stuff, you know, write this verse down and keep coming back to it and feed your mind and your heart on the truth on the truth of that scripture. It is so powerful. I just love that one. Another one from the Psalms. There's loads of good ones in the Psalms. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. It's actually mankind, by the way. He likes women too. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. It's a great, great verse. But ultimately, John, go back to John's letter there. He says this, we love why? Because he first loved us. If you want to learn how to love better, go to the source of love. God is the source of love. Jesus demonstrated while we were sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us, the godly for the ungodly. So, you know, on the earthly sense, when you know that your father's loves you, you want to spend time with him. That it wasn't hard for me to spend time with my dad. That was a huge thing. It was never hard. And my dad liked to surprise us with things, and I like to learn from him and enjoy the moments with him. You know, the fastest I've ever been in a car is not when I was driving it. The fastest I've ever been on a motorcycle, I was on back with somebody in the room. I won't say who, but you might guess. But in a car, the fastest I've ever been, second fastest, because Wallace is here, was with his brother, Hudson. That was pretty fast. But the first fastest still goes with my dad. Now, children, do not encourage your father to do this. But my dad took me for a ride that, as a 15-year-old kid, was the right ride to do, and Mom didn't know about it at the time, which really made it even better. But that was 1968. It was a great ride and a great car. And I remember coming home thinking, as a 15-year-old kid, there is nobody cooler on the planet than my dad. Nobody's cooler than he is. So again, from the pulpit, I cannot encourage anyone to go over the speed limit. I would never do that. But I will say, at that time, that was the right thing. Because I think when a boy is in his teens and feeling all the pulls and seeing all his friends at school doing all kinds of stuff, that my dad was the coolest person on earth. And then what was interesting, a few years later, as I'm in high school, and my dad would be going to work. Initially, it was both my brother Reggie and I, but we'd ride. We didn't go on the bus in the morning. We came home at night. We always went to school in my dad's demo on his way into work. And he would drive different cars. And I can remember getting out in Falmouth High School. I think I'm a senior at this point. Getting out, there's a bunch of kids hanging outside. And one of them came to me. Oh, they nicknamed him Happy Herb. So Dad would pull in, and he'd have the windows down. Hey, Happy Herb. Now, some people would think that's rude. They're not honoring their elder. Not my dad. My dad understood teenagers, I guess. And I remember getting out of the car, and a kid I wasn't even that close to said to me, your dad is really cool. And I thought, wow, I guess he is. Maybe he is really cool. I don't know. But and then I learned from other friends just how valuable they saw my home life was. Now, who do I'm bragging a lot about my dad. And if you didn't have a dad like that, that may actually hurt. And I'm not here to cause you pain. But I am here to say you have a heavenly father that loves you in far greater capacity than my own earthly dad loved me. And some of you, I had a chance to know your dads a little bit. I think of my friend Paul Silvius. He's got two here today, sometimes three. His three daughters are here. But I became friends with him later in life. But I thought, Paul must have been a cool dad because he's a cool dad now. That's just who he was. And I bet he did stuff with you guys. So that's kind of cool. But if you didn't have that, remember, you can draw that from your father, because that's what Jesus said. When, after he met with the disciples, in the end of John's gospel, he says, I go to my father and your father. He wanted the disciples to know that God is their father too. So spending time. It's not too late. If you have kids, build the relationship. Build the relationship. I watch the news. As you know, I do EMS here in town. The home is everything. The home is everything. I wish somehow that picture could be brought out. I keep hearing and seeing if we have better schools, if we have better social programs. And as you know, if you've seen me, I argue out loud with my TV. And I go right back to it. I go, no, we need better homes. We need stronger families. We need moms and dads that are together and work together. And the kids know they love them and they know they're secure. That's what we need. How do we do that? Well, this is one way. We spend time growing together in God's word. So you spend time, you build the relationship, spend time with each child. Someone years ago, and I was a little late starting this with my kids, but if you've got younger kids, it's not too late. They literally put in their calendar separate times for each kid. So they gave them, they called them date time with each kid. And I hadn't thought of that. And I thought, that's pretty cool. He said, yep, every month I do one date time with, and this guy had multiple kids. He had a big family. But he said, I give them one-on-one time. And I may take them out for ice cream. It may be in the morning. It may be in the evening. We do something just one-on-one. And it's not just to correct. A kid knows pretty fast if every time they're alone with mom or dad, the dad's just there to fix them. And that doesn't work. You got to take time to reinforce them and to listen to them, to listen to them. And listening, of course, involves more than just the words they say. Especially when kids are in their teens, they may not articulate what they're feeling, but their body language says a lot. Watch and listen, eyes and ears. And then, of course, it's time with your Heavenly Father. Jesus knew time with his Father was time well spent. So once again, build the relationship. Build the relationship through time in your Bible or prayer, through fellowship. I often make more progress when I'm with you or with a study group or even just working out here in the property with one of you, because we're in relationship and we're sharing life and we're doing things together. Fellowship is more than a potluck. Potlucks are good. We have to eat, right? So here's a website I want to mention to you, openbible.info. It's kind of an odd ending there. And it's 100 verses on love that somebody compiled together. It takes a while to read them all, one right after another. They're not all in chronological order, which makes it even better. But that's just something you can feed your soul on, how much God loves you, how his love's working, and I think that will help. I found this quote, and I wasn't really looking for it, but I'm awful glad I stumbled across it. This is from the father of modern psychology, Sigmund Freud. And I'm not an expert on Freud by a long shot, nor do I want to be, but a couple times we've used a book by Dr. Armand Nicolai from, he's retired now, from Harvard Medical School. And he wrote a book comparing the worldviews of C.S. Lewis and Sigmund Freud. And if I had to pick 10 books that have impacted my life, that's one of the 10 that would make that list. The What of God, what's the name of the book? The Something of God. I should have had pulled the book up here so you'd see it. But Dr. Armand Nicolai, Freud versus Lewis. And here's a quote from Mr. Freud, and died an atheist to our knowledge, may have had a last-minute conversion, we don't know that, and actually wrote he resisted the thought of God that kept coming back to him. It's fascinating. But this is his quote: "I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection." The need for a father's protection. And he argued that our image of God is because we've been hurt by our dads and we make up someone that's big enough and strong enough to take care of us, if I understood him correctly. Dr. Armand Nicolai, I believe, has. There's no one alive, I'm assuming he's still alive, that's done more research on either man, Lewis or Freud. Yes, the question of God, that's it. I knew it was the something of God. The question of God, Dr. Armand Nicolai. And we might do that again as a study group. It's a fascinating read. But I like this acronym. That one. FATHER, fun, brave, patient, hero, wise, caring. Some of you like acronyms, but you can't do it with the first letters. That just makes a crappy acronym. But you can do it down the middle. That works okay. FATHER. So thanks to dads. Thanks to you guys out there that are still doing the dad or the grandpa thing. God bless you in that. Thank you, moms, for helping dads to be better dads. My wife has helped me loads to be a better dad, and I am so grateful for that. That's such an important thing. And Lois lost her dad when she was 15. Is that right? And so that was a big hole in her life. So I think that helped her understand the need for having a dad there. Thank you, Dad. So we're going to sing a song in closing, as we always do. And it's Praise the Father, Praise the Son. We haven't sung this in a long time. It's a great piece. It's just a worship piece. In a while.
All other names.
Lord, we do praise you, name above all names. And to think of the power that you have to create the universe, make it run, make it work, and then to have us known with all our sin, with all our selfishness, all that stuff, and you love us so fully, so completely. You wanted us to know you and be with you so much that, Jesus, you would come and die in our place. That's what salvation is, Jesus taking my place. Maybe there's some here that they've never experienced that. You can right now just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to know this unconditional love that no matter what, you're there for me. And because of what you did on the cross, I am assured eternal life in heaven. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to follow you. I know I'm a sinner. If you pray that silently, know that Jesus does that. He is your Lord. You can praise him as your Lord and follow him and grow in your relationship with him. Lord, I pray for the blessings of the day as we go, family activities, all those things. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us the way, for changing that relationship to the Yahweh God of the Old Testament, revered and feared and sometimes even in terror, to the Father God of the New Testament. So Paul could even write, you can call him Daddy. It's okay. It's that amazing, the transformation, because of what Jesus did. God didn't change. He's always been the same. He's always been holy and loving. But now we have that relationship through Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the good examples. Thank you what we can learn, even if we grew up with not so good examples.
that we can follow you fully and have an impact on others. Bless this day. We praise you, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. You're dismissed. Enjoy the day. God's blessing. Oh, Diane, go ahead.